been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We've got a chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite, with us also here today.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. We've got two of the biggest winners in the market today belong to us. We own them. And a couple stocks are dragging down the market. We don't own them. And I wish we would have started the show about 30 minutes ago. I would have been a little bit more upbeat. But the Dow has taken a turn for the worse. It's down 144 right now. I'm going to blame Cisco for that drop in the Dow pretty much. On the upside in the Dow, well, Macy's is not in the Dow. I guess Home Depot is on the upside in the Dow. And then over at the NASDAQ, it's up. It's up 41 points, 34 points right now. And that's NVIDIA and AMD, a couple of stocks there lifting the NASDAQ today. S&P is up 7. It's at 46.95, S&P being helped by Macy's. Big boost for Macy's. We were talking about Macy's the other day, how it's been a survivor in all of this, bricks and mortar mayhem. NVIDIA also is lifting the S&P 500 quite a bit there too. NVIDIA is having a great day. It's up. It was up 10% last time I looked. Crude oil, on the net downside, 78.75. There's some talk of the oil reserves around the world opening up a little bit to offset OPEC. Gold is down $5, 18.65. Silver's down 19 cents. We've got the 10-year. This is all very important these days, watching that 10-year on a daily basis. It's flat, 1.60. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money managers Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Barry, we have two very nice winners in the market here today. Yesterday the market was pretty dull. It was a profit-taking day. You know it's a profit-taking day when Rivian goes down and Lucid goes down.
Right. Yep.
And Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin staying down a bit. Yeah, staying.
Yes, the trifecta.
Below 60,000 earlier today.
But after the close last night, one of our biggest holdings, we have a double position in NVIDIA because we own it in our premier growth portfolio. It is one of the best growth companies in America, in the world. I would argue that there should be two N's in FANG, and the second one would be NVIDIA. And it pays a little dividend, so we also own it in our dividend and growth portfolio. Wow, it's up 11% right now. And, of course, when it's one of your biggest positions, that really lifts all the portfolio boats, especially those two portfolios that we hold it in. And AMD is kind of tagging along with it. AMD, wow, look at AMD today.
Yeah,
it's up 4.1.
Yeah, a lot of strength in all the chip names, probably on the back of NVIDIA's great, earnings report yesterday afternoon after the close.
Yes, but these two are definitely the leaders. And, I've said that many times. There's really only two chip stocks. Look at Intel, for instance, okay? It's down 1.5% and hitting a new low today. It's a dog. And this points out, okay, so you can buy an ETF, a sector ETF on the chip sector, SMH, USD. There's several different ETFs. You own all the chip stocks, including Intel. And I would rather cherry pick the ETFs in a good sector and buy the stars in the sector. And the stars in the sector are NVIDIA and AMD. And then there's some others that are pretty good in that sector. But those two really are by far the best stocks now in the sector. And that certainly is the case here today. Okay, well, yesterday, like I say, we had a pretty soft day. Not a lot of a catalyst out there. Rivian's winning streak came to an end. Let's check in on Rivian very quickly. I called it a puffer fish yesterday. Rivian, ooh, it's getting slant. You know what? I tried to short that stock 2 days ago. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. You ever do that? You were going to bet on a horse and you didn't, and he comes in at boxcars. Well, Rivian is getting clobbered again today. Maybe it's me ripping it, you know, publicly. It is down 11.8% now. Wow, today. And it was way down yesterday. Of course, the people that own Rivian hate me. it got up to $179. Now it's off $50 from that high. When the market cap was insane. That's insanity to drive it up to a market cap like that. We got to check in on Lucid, too. Is anybody Lucid anymore? I don't know. LCID is also getting slammed, down 11.3% today. We got to check one more, Fisker, because they were going to unveil their car yesterday at the L.A. Auto Show. It's down 5.3%.
We'll the only winner. Tesla.
Well, I was going to say, who's the star of the group? Okay, you can own the whole sector, or you can just own Tesla, and you're probably going to do just fine. Tesla actually has dropped a little bit. It's now flat. It was up $10 per share here a little bit earlier. But, you know, we've reached some insane levels, some dot-com bubbles, no question about it, in several areas of the market. Let's check in on the solar. You know, it used to be an SUV, and now you have an SEV, which is a solar electric vehicle. It's up, well, it's bucking the trend. It's up 57 cents today. It went public at 15 2 days ago. It's 38 already, 2.7 billion in this little solar car. I think what we're going to do is we're going to drop a concept, a car with a sail on it, and have a wind-powered car. You know, we'll drop a concept. We'll take it public, Barry. We'll do a SPAC first, and then we'll take it public, and you and I will both be billionaires.
Yeah, I'll be fine with the $750 million market cap, and that'll be on sale. It'll go to $100 billion, and we'll let everyone else profit from that.
But you got to live in a windy area, you know. You're not going to get very far. Well, I'm not making fun of green energy and all this and that, but these market caps I'm certainly making fun of. There's no justification at all. It's irrational exuberance, as Alan Greenspan said in 1998. There was a hot IPO yesterday, Braze, B-R-Z-E. I thought maybe it had something to do with pot roast or short ribs, but no. Braze Inc. provides customer-centric interactions between consumers and brands in customer engagement platform. I still can't tell you what it does. It sounds like software to me of some sort. They've had some pretty good earnings growth. It went public at 65. It had a huge day yesterday. It went almost to 100 on day one. So BRZE, we'll be adding that one to the database here. But it does take 3 months before it even can get a momentum grade. And then to get a full grade from the Gunderson system, it takes about 9 months to get that full grade. So, you know, I like to see them, give them some time, let them cool off, let them settle in, let them report a few quarters of earnings or lack thereof. I think that's very, very important.
Kind of reminds me of Twilio.
Yeah, remember Twilio?
We wrote up at the end of the year last year. So it's similar. I think it's a similar concept, or at least plays in the similar in a similar space.
Twilio is a giant holding at a lot of top mutual funds and ETFs, but it's been kind of flat here recently.
It's had a rough go since the whole kind of first move from growth to value there at the early January.
And yes, ever since we wrote the article.
Yeah, it's one of those names that's never really bounced back.
No, and I'm surprised, but I think it will at some point in time. Twilio's also a favorite at the Motley Fool. Let's see. OSHA suspends enforcement of COVID vaccine mandate for businesses. I saw that yesterday. That's pretty big news because January 4th was supposed to be the day that anybody with 100 employees or more enforce the vaccine mandate. And if you didn't, OSHA would be knocking at your door. $14,000 fines for every employee who's not vaccinated. Well, they've had to back off because the courts are taking a look at it, saying, you know what, we don't know about this. Is this constitutional or not? But anyways, OSHA stepped back, and then they suspended their enforcement, so everything's on hold right now. All right, there's a lot of stocks to talk about today, and there's a ban on cryptocurrency in a large country. Could this be an omen of more to come? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kai. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Gee, I'm going to take my football and go home today. It just, the market went south during the commercial here. Dow down 238 now, and the NASDAQ down 70. I don't know what happened. Something happened here while we were doing the break, and everything fell apart. But you know what? We got a long day ahead of us. We'll see. It's all about the close. We've got a lot of stocks to look at today. This is kind of my busiest trading day is, you know, I kind of make my final decisions on all the portfolios, usually on Thursday. Okay, we got to talk about the 15% minimum tax real quickly that is being proposed in the new, okay, they've pared that $3.5 trillion spending plan down to $2 trillion. But one of the big changes in the Build Back Better Act is a 15% minimum tax on a company's book income. And guess who's complaining? The green energy companies are complaining. Because this proposal would end accelerated depreciation, which clean energy developers have used to book higher tax deductions on projects over a shorter period of time. They say it would raise the expense of renewable energy projects by 15 to 20% and cause the loss of 130 gigawatts of clean energy, development over the next decade. So, yeah, I mean, and it does, that would not just be in the solar and the clean, green sectors. But that depreciation, you would think, too, instead of being able to write it off, you'd still have to pay a 15% minimum tax no matter what. But you're getting rid of that, 1 year write-off, which encourages capital investment. And that's a big incentive for companies to make capital investments, to expand. And it helps companies, obviously, that produce capital equipment. That's a big incentive to buy their equipment. So they may be shooting themselves in the foot there with that change. And they are crying about it. American Electric Power, Next Era Energy, and Ørsted all saying this is not a good idea. Okay, the White House is said to ask big countries to coordinate releases from the oil reserves. Well, oil has gone down a little. We're down to $78 per barrel. We were up almost to 85, I think, at one time. So oil has backed off a little bit. But we're not opening up our spigot, you know, here in the U.S. We're asking countries, well, we've asked OPEC, and guess what they said? You know, no. OPEC, there's no way they're going to open up their spigot and drive oil prices lower because they're the ones that basically, are, have a, a lot of control in today's market that they didn't used to have. Now, we used to have an abundance, too much oil, and now the White House is asking big countries to coordinate releases from the oil reserves, which just seems kind of strange to me. But, you know, it, you know, Putin's ratings, Barry, rise and fall with the price of oil, Vladimir, because, you know, oil is 80% of the Russian economy. Biden's approval ratings rise, they go
in the opposite direction, right?
Exactly.
Negatively correlated.
Yes, and he had a 38% print here recently on his approval ratings. And a lot of that, you know, almost everybody, voters especially, they use gas. They fill up their tank. And, you know, it used to be that, you know, we didn't stand by the pump and watch the dial go around, but now we all fill our own tanks. The days of the guy coming up and doing your windshield and all that, there's a few places like that. But for the most part, we all do it ourselves. And we watch that thing, and we see at the end that total bill. And it's a little bit of a sticker shock these days. Now, here's, okay, now, cryptocurrency. I'm in the camp that it's not going to end well. How about India calling cryptos a Ponzi? They're liking it to a Ponzi scheme, which I liken it to a house of cards, almost like a pyramid. I think a pyramid scheme is a better way to call it. But India, you know, they're going to ban cryptocurrencies as a payment method. You can hold it as an asset in India, but you can't use it for payments. And they are likening cryptos to a Ponzi scheme. The government plans to present a crypto bill in the upcoming winter sessions of Parliament. And, you know, I have said that the biggest risk to all of these cryptos are governments around the world, you know, clamping down with regulations. China basically clamped down and got rid of all the cryptos because they have their own crypto. And I think at some point in time, the United States of America will have its own crypto. And which means they're going to try to, you know, they'll get tough on the kind of the private market cryptos, which India is now doing, and China has already done. So that's just a little warning shot over the bow there from India. Okay, we talk a lot about, everybody seems to want recurring revenue now. And, you know, Barry, they're even separating, some of these companies I've noticed are separating recurring revenue versus one-time revenue in their income statements. Have you noticed that?
Right. Yep.
I've never seen that.
It's nice when they do. Some of, you know, a lot of them don't. I wish they, you know, it would be nice to see them continue to do that, because that's what we're looking at a lot of times, especially with our, you know, with our 5-year price targets. Right. We're looking at you know, that reoccurring revenue. We see that as, you know, is much more sustainable. Right. On a go forward basis. So then that gives us more confidence in those particular earnings projections going forward, because we know we're planning far out in advance. But, you know, with that, for, you know, ServiceNow is a perfect example, I think, you know, in terms of reoccurring revenue and the amount of, you know, amount of people dropping their services, like, you know, is like maybe, you know, it's 1% or so.
Yes.
It's
well, and, you know, other companies that have recently gone to that model and it's been very successful. Adobe has been a giant winner in the NASDAQ. You know, you now pay like $70 a month to have access to Photoshop and all of that.
Right.
Of course, Netflix with their subscriptions, Disney with a part of their business being subscriptions.
Even Microsoft, right, with Microsoft Office.
Yes.
You know, they have, you know, those deals versus, you know, back in the day, remember, you get a new computer, you had to buy the, you know, buy the disk, and you had the, you know, the little code to type in, right? Well, nowadays,
now you,
it's a username and login, and you can essentially log into any computer and use your own, you know, your own Excel and you know, Word and other things of that nature. So,
well, when we come back, a major company is launching a new $100 a year program, And I'm just going to check real quickly on how the stock is reacting to this. That's generally a good thing, okay, because you want recurring revenue. When we come back, we'll just talk a little bit about who it is. And then got a lot of individual stocks to talk about, a lot of companies in with earnings news here today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
And looking back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ's down just 21 right now. Was up 80 at one time before the market opened. And the Dow is being hurt by Cisco, being down 8-9%. Cisco is a member of the Dow. Okay, the stocks that stand out to me today, and we got to mention SQM, all right? That's the first one I want to mention. SQM reported earnings last night. They came up a little shy. I'm not worried. The stock is down 1.5%. No big deal. Okay, their earnings, their sales, quarter over quarter, their sales were up 46%. Their earnings were up 999%, 37 cents versus 1 cent. It's an $18 billion company. It pays a dividend just under 1%, headquartered in Chile. You recently helped write up a research report that we had published on Monday, I think. What is your takeaway from SQM's, which is in the lithium and fertilizer business?
Yeah, and they're having the earnings call is actually right now. They reported earnings last night, and then the call is today. We'll listen to the replay a little bit later on this afternoon. But yeah, I mean they missed revenue I think by $4 million, which is essentially I think it was like 0.4%. So it wasn't pretty much came in line on revenue. The earnings, I think, they were asking, thinking around, 49, 50, depending on who covers it. And there's not a ton of coverage of this, of this particular name. So your average in terms of what your earnings expectations are kind of, it's a small sample size, versus say Apple where there's, 100 or more analysts, right? Giving an average, if you only got 6 analysts and you could be thrown off by one big number. But, market, kind of recognized. I mean, there's only, like I said, a missed on earnings, but only down about 1.7%. But going forward, their pricing, they had some great info in terms of what go forward prices. I mean, their fertilizer prices, iodine prices, and lithium prices are all at all time highs, and those contracts reset. So essentially, they're going to get that pricing. They're looking for record earnings and revenue in the fourth quarter. So they actually up their guidance, and they'll get into more of it on this call that we'll listen to later on today. But I think on a go forward basis, I think it's still a certainly still a great play, and I think I think from an article perspective, I think we're kind of shedding some light on something that's not really covered very much.
Yeah, and I'm surprised too. I guess maybe because it's a foreign company, maybe a lot of these ETFs and mutual funds aren't allowed to own it or something like that. I don't know, but I'm looking at the LA Auto Show, and it's all they're showing is electric cars. So lithium,
you got to have lithium, right?
You got to have currently. Lithium. And you got to have fertilizer. Just don't get them mixed up. You don't want to. I knew a guy who put fertilizer in his electric car batteries. Nobody, would tailgate him for sure. But anyways, that's SQM. Now the other one, we got to pound our chest a little bit here with NVIDIA. It's come back to earth a little. It's only up 9.3% right now, but we'll take that. As NVIDIA closing in on $1 trillion, it's $800 billion. At one time, Intel was where NVIDIA is today, right? Intel had owned the world of semiconductors. The very first company starting the Silicon Valley was Intel. And now Intel is a major laggard in the sector, and I'd have to call NVIDIA the star of the sector.
Yeah, $205 billion company is Intel now, which is...
Yeah, and NVIDIA is $800 billion. Right. So Intel missed out on the boat somewhere on these graphic chips. They must have misjudged the enormous demand and the cost. Those chips aren't cheap, right? They're pretty high-end, expensive chips. They're not exactly a commodity like Micron's memory chips, you know, and
right.
the others. This is not a commodity. This is a hot, hot product. And the bit mining machines need NVIDIA chips. So that's pretty good. So, you know, in a way, you're getting exposure to Roblox. You're getting exposure to... the Bitcoin miners,
the cloud, because you're getting, you know,
and the cloud.
Their chips are just like, you know, just like AMD. Their chips are highly sought after for data centers. So
yes, so NVIDIA shares rise on strong gaming and data center sales gains. So now, you, I mean, you're talking like Amazon, right? They're the big Amazon servers and whatnot.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
NVIDIA is just in a garden spot. Almost, you know.
And AWS is, you know, if you break down Amazon's, you know, value, a lot of people don't realize this, you know, they're pretty much their biggest business unit is the cloud side, right?
Yeah.
Is the data storage. And, you know, that's been a very, very, you know, big deal for them. And, you know, yeah, these AMD and NVIDIA are the two chip makers that a lot of those different groups are putting, whether it's Microsoft and some of theirs. You know, they're using those chips for those data centers.
Yep, AWS, Amazon Web Services. Okay, well, I'm working on the newsletter. Today's the day that I kind of close down the portfolios for the week at the end of the day. If I'm going to make any changes in those portfolios, it's most likely going to be today. I sent out a live trading alert yesterday that I've got several, and I mentioned the stocks that I'm looking at that I have a lot of interest in. Whether I pull the plug, there's a few that we have lagging. You know, there's a lot of times, so if you're just patient on the stocks now, they can give you some heartburn and grief. I've given up on many over the years that went on to become big, big winners. Recently, I gave up on that Kura Sushi, which is sweeping the country. And, you know, as soon as you sell it, yeah, a few weeks later it starts to take off. So it's a two-edged sword, okay? You try to buy best stocks now. In the first place, I have a lot more faith in them that they will come around eventually if you're just patient. And you're going to have to ride through some 7, 8% corrections along the way. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, I had a guy leave us one time. He says, you don't use 7 to 8% sell stops. I said, well, you know, the other side of that coin is, how many times would you have gotten stopped out of a stock that went down 7, 8%, like an NVIDIA or an AMD, that went on to be huge, huge winners, and you sold it because you were down 7 or 8%? You know, that's not a good strategy. Anyways, we will be sending that newsletter out first thing Saturday morning, maybe late tomorrow, GundersonCapital.com. See how our portfolios are doing, our outlook on the market right now, etc., and any new buys or sells that we might do here today. And if you're just ready to jump past all that, well, I blew that.
Securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.